The sermon title today is Compel Them to Come In. And if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 41. So Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. And verse 41 says this of Luke chapter 2. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, speaking about Jesus, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him was astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." In other words, we are being pulled apart on the inside, worried about you, because we thought you were with friends and relatives already up ahead. And come to find out that you were not with them, and all of a sudden we are scared to death because we were worried that something happened to you. In verse 49, Jesus explains. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Years and years and years ago, when we lived in Pleasantville, and at that time we had our 2 kids, and Carol's sister that passed away tragically at 3M, we adopted her 2 boys. And not only did we have that going on, her other sister's husband was in a cancer research center in Omaha, Nebraska, and we finally, I'm sorry to say, we ended up losing our brother-in-law to cancer. Melanoma is what he had. So at that time, we had our 2 kids, and we had our 2 nephews that we adopted, and we had our little niece that was with us, and she was just a baby. Now, I'll explain this story to you, because as I explain this story, I want you to know I had not been a Christian for years and years and years. There was maybe a lot of spiritual maturity that needed to happen in Pastor Leo's life at this point in time. But getting them ready on Sunday morning was a zoo. And everybody had to be cleaned up, everybody had to eat breakfast, and everybody had to get in the car. And of course, we didn't have a van or anything like that, so it was 4 kids in the back seat of the car, the little niece sitting between us in the front seat of the car, which I know is not legal today, but that's how it was. But there was the 2 nephews that we adopted. Them 2 boys were like oil and water. And if one could reach the other one and poke the other one, then the fight would be on every time. And it happened all the time. And you have to realize that my 2 nephews, they did not come out of a Christian home. They really didn't even want to go to church. So you were telling them, "You're going to go to church." So you'd get them all in the car. You'd put 1 nephew on one side and 1 nephew on the other side. And before you even got out of the parking lot, there'd be a fight. And at that point in time, I would say, "Sit down, shut up, keep your mouth shut and your hands to yourself, and I'm telling you right now, if I have to stop this car on the way to Knoxville, I'm going to break somebody's neck in the back seat." And we all love Jesus, you got it? Now, I'm sure that there's somebody here that can relate to that story. Yeah, I've seen many hands that are going up. So you're thinking, what in the world does this have to do with the reading of Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 49? That I need to be about my Father's business. Too many Christians separate out or almost live 2 different lives. This is my social life. This is my spiritual life. This is my physical life. This is my spiritual life. This is my social life. And this is my church life. How many Christians are truly saying, Jesus, just get in the back seat of my life and I'll tell you when I need you? Because they've got that so separated out in their life. When I run into something that I can't handle, Jesus, I'll let you know. And you've probably heard that saying, if Jesus is your co-pilot, you need to switch seats. God has a plan and a purpose for everyone in this sanctuary today. I want you to know that. Everybody. The plan is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the purpose is for you to share your faith with other people. And too many people are trying to live out their Christian flight plan with Jesus just being the co-pilot, when he should be the one that's leading, that he's guiding, that he's directing our lives. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when you go to verse 19, and verse 19 says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Think about that. For you were bought at a price, and it was a great price. It cost the Lord Jesus his life. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Now listen to it in the NLT. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. We are supposed to honor God with everything that is in us. I don't have two separate lifestyles. Jesus Christ is not a byproduct of my life on this earth. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were saying, Jesus, I no longer want you to be in the back seat of my life. I want you to be in the driver's seat. When I go to work, when I go home, when I go to visit, when I go to Walmart, wherever I'm going, I want you to be in the driver's seat, that I am handling myself in a manner that you would desire for me to handle myself. I want the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct, because wherever I steer, whenever I'm in the steering control, when I'm driving the steering wheel, I always go in the ditch. Saints, Jesus Christ is not supposed to be some byproduct of your life on this earth. Jesus Christ is my life, and he's supposed to be your life. In John 14:6, it says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one in John 10:10 that says that not only promises life, but life abundantly. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus said, Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? In our conversations with others, how many times is the phrase used, what have you been up to? We use that over and over, don't we? If our purpose is to share our faith, when asked what we have been up to, it shouldn't always be, oh, I've been hunting, or I've been fishing, or I've been working on the house, or I've just been working. Every day when we get up, before too long, each and every one of us look in a mirror. Every one of us. You're brushing your teeth, combing your hair if you got hair. Every morning we should look at ourselves and say the words, today I need to be about the Father's business. We should, in every aspect of our lives, be about the Father's business, whether it's a business dealing, whether it's relating to others, whether it's work relationships, going to store, sharing with others. I need to be about the Father's business at that point in time in my life. You know, it's sad to say that the majority of Christian people never share their faith with anybody. A large percentage never share their faith. But you have had the most amazing gift that has ever happened to you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you're no longer dead, but you're alive, and that the Lord Jesus comes and dwells within your life. You've been saved. Someday you will walk on the streets of glory. You have been delivered from the powers of darkness. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's such a good thing, and I believe it is, then we ought to feel like we ought to tell somebody about it. That we should share our faith with other people. Jesus Christ is a priority in my life, and He wants to be a priority in your life as well. How can I reveal that to others? Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we go down to verse 17, a verse that you're all very, very familiar with. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to Him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." When you and I accepted Christ and become part of, we have become a part of the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2:6 says this. It says that we have been raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Brother and sister, spiritually today, you're not seated here on this earth. You're seated in glory with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Heaven is your home today. This is not your home. Carol was talking with her class this week about sojourner. What is a sojourner? Somebody that is just passing through. We are just passing through this earth and this life that we live here today. But we manicure it, we try to get more, we try to get more, we try to do this and we try to do that, and all of it we're going to leave behind when we go on to glory. Our focus should be on the things of God, not on the things of this earth. And sometimes we can get very confused with that. Heaven is your home. We are ambassadors. Now think of it. We are ambassadors in a foreign land, because this is not your home. We are to be about the Father's business. We do not promote America. We promote the kingdom of God. In Romans 1:16, I'll turn to Romans 1:16 really quickly. My goodness, they're excited. Why aren't you guys that excited? There you go. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Because it is the good news. You have the good news. We've been talking about that on Sunday morning in our Sunday school class, that to the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know what? The gospel to them is a mystery. They don't understand. They don't understand what you have. They don't understand what you got. And they don't understand what the difference is in your life and how in themselves, within themselves, they can get it themselves. So when Pastor Leo, many of you heard my testimony before, when we started going to church, I had the pastor that came by my house, and he wanted to talk to me about salvation. And when he was talking to me, he says, and I said, you know what I told him? I said, well, when I get this all figured out, I'll make up my mind and whether to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior or not. But I didn't understand it at the time, but you know what he told me? Leo, you will never figure out the gospel. You must accept by faith, and then he will reveal it to you. So that's why you say today, why did we make salvation so hard when all I had to do was say, Jesus, I believe in you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior because I believe that you died on the cross for me. Why do we make that hard? So hard because it's a mystery. But who is supposed to reveal that mystery to other people? You and I, because we are the ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ in this foreign land in which we live today. Jesus Christ saved my life. He has changed my life. Every one of us has a message to share with other people. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, it says this. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Saints, that will only happen if every one of us look in the mirror tomorrow and say, I need to be about my Father's business. I need to be about my Father's business. And I'd ask you today, maybe there's one here today. For so long you've put Jesus in the back seat of the car. And you said, Jesus, be the co-pilot. If I need you, I'll call you up to the front. But every time that you take the steering wheel, you keep driving off into the ditch. Maybe it's time that you would say in your heart today, Jesus, I want you to take the wheel of my life. I want you to be in the driver's seat. Is there anyone here today that needs to make that decision? If you close your eyes and bow your heads, Lord Jesus, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the special time that we've had. We thank you for the worship and the praise and the prayers. And Lord, we just thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you can do something that no one else can. You can sweep over this place and touch every heart and every life. And we pray that in Jesus' name you would do that right now. And I pray that if there's one here today that hasn't made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they will just stand up and come down here and meet me at the altar. They won't raise their hand, they'll just stand up and come to the altar. Would there be one today that would stand up and come and join me at the altar today? And Pastor Lou, would you pray with me today? Is there one? I won't belabor this. Will there be one? Father, we pray that, Lord, over this Thanksgiving season, that you would bless us. And Father, we would count our blessings and name them one by one of all the things that you have blessed us with this year, last year. There's so many times that we only focus on the negative, but we also need to focus on the good things, the great things that you have done in our life. Father, today this church is sitting in a brand new sanctuary, one that you ordained and one that we said in the very beginning, if we would just trust and believe in you and have love for one another, that you would perform it before our very eyes. Father, we are sitting in a place today that you have performed before our very eyes. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for all of the Thanksgiving gifts that you have given us. We ask that, Lord, as we leave this place, that your hand would be upon our lives and that you would bless us, Father. And we ask it all in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great week and a great Thanksgiving.